God says, when you get right with me and you get right with others and you forgive yourself, you're a candidate for a new beginning. I'm going to do some things that are going to make a way for you where there hasn't been a way. But here's the deal. You got to seize the season.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, You Can Start Over Again. Stay tuned and be blessed as Pastor Jeff concludes this message on hope and a new beginning. Now here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more.
You know, one of the most encouraging things about the God of the Bible is that He's forgiving, restoring, and merciful. While He doesn't remove the consequences of wrong actions, He does assure us that we can begin again. Maybe you've made a terrible mistake and you're wondering, hey, is there any hope for my future? Or you've suffered a major setback and you're wondering how in the world you're ever going to move forward in a positive direction. Listen, we're going to see in today's message that God's very own people sinned so badly they lost everything. But God will speak to them a word of hope for a new day coming, and He has the same word for you. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share from the message, You Can Start Over Again.
The word remember here, when he says don't remember the former things, means to constantly call to mind. So it's somebody who is really, really hung up on the past. Hung up on the past. Stop rehashing the disappointments, the hurts of the past. Stop hitting the replay button and looking back and remembering. You know, when you do that, it's like you're holding on to a rattlesnake. Somebody hurts you. You're wounded, maybe you haven't forgiven them. And when you do that, it's like you're holding on to a rattlesnake. If you hold on to a rattlesnake, let me promise you one thing that's gonna happen. He's gonna keep biting you. And when we don't forgive and when we live in the past, we're allowing the past to have power over us, to bite us over and over and over again. You got to throw that rattlesnake down. You can't live there. He's saying, quit racking your brain, trying to understand what happened back there, how you got hurt, what you did, what they did, how they did it, when they did it, why they did it. Quit trying to figure it all out. Quit looking back. You've got to let the rattlesnake go. You got to let the past go. I have good things that I remember in the past, but I've got some things that I don't have amnesia about them, but I choose not to call them up. Why should I call them up and let them bite me again? I will not live in those things. I let them go. I forgive. Now, speaking of forgiveness, I've noticed just doing life and being a pastor for a long time, I've noticed this, that what keeps people in the past more than almost anything else is a forgiveness issue. Either you haven't forgiven who hurt you, or let me drop a bomb on you now, you haven't forgiven yourself. Have you ever thought about that? You haven't forgiven yourself. You've been very successful at forgiving other people, other things, sometimes really terrible things, and you've done well to forgive them and give them to God and go on, but you haven't forgiven you. Haven't forgiven you. You can't forgive yourself for an equal or even a lesser offense. Some people have never thought about this, and I've never preached on this like I'm about to, but it's occurred to me that we got to forgive us. So let me just park here for a minute and talk about you forgiving you, me forgiving me. We've all had those times, all of us, when we can't believe what we said. We can't believe we yielded to that certain sin, or we can't believe we traveled down that forbidden road. We've all had those times. We know that we were wrong. We've talked to God about it. We've admitted it, we've confessed it, and we've received God's forgiveness, and yet something still lingers in the back of our mind, in our conscience, when it comes to us, ourselves. We know we're forgiven, but we still punish ourselves. So, Jeff, if you knew what I did, you'd punish me too. Well, let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus overcomes anything you ever did. The blood of Jesus is greater than any sin you could ever commit. And when it comes to forgiving ourselves, sometimes that's a great big step because we're really good at doing it with others. But when it comes to us, we don't let our own selves off the hook. We feel that we need to punish ourselves. Deep down inside, we've even got a sense that we need to go through lifelong penance to pay for what we did, even though Jesus Christ's blood has washed away all of our sin. We feel like we've got to punish ourselves. I read about a lady. It was her story. And this lady was a professional. I think she was an attorney. And she met a guy, and they got married. And the marriage didn't go well at all right off the bat. There was a lot of fighting, a lot of arguing, a lot of dissension. And about 14 months into the marriage, she realized she was pregnant. Well, without telling him, because she did not want to affect her career, and because she did not want to have a child with him, she went and she got an abortion. And about a year later, he found out about it. And when he found out about it, they had a major blowout, and the marriage dissolved, and she went on. And about 5 years later, somebody invited her to a Bible study. And she was sitting in the Bible study, and sitting in the Bible study, the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of her and spoke to her and said, "You have never forgiven yourself. And that's why you've been living the self-destructive lifestyle you've been living, because you've been punishing yourself." And right there in that Bible study, she forgave herself. And when she forgave herself, it gave her a brand new beginning. Now, let me tell you something. You got to forgive yourself. Listen, forgiving yourself is crucial to moving forward. I think I'm talking to people who want to move forward. Amen. And so if you want to move forward, forgiving yourself is crucial to moving forward. Here's where we've got to have forgiveness. We've got to be sure, first of all, that we're right with God. Because if there's sin between us and God, here's what we're like. We're like a car broken down on the side of the road, and we can't travel down the highway of life because that car is broken down. It's hindered. The engine won't work because there's something wrong with it. Well, when it comes to a human being, if there is sin between us and God, we're like that broken down car. We're not going to get on the road of life and move forward until we are forgiven. We must repent. Now, isn't it weird that in a lot of churches, you're not going to hear that word anymore? But repent is a beautiful six-letter word, because repentance opens the door for us to have fellowship with God and to receive His blessings and all that God has for us. Thank God for repentance. Right? So we need to get right with God, but then we got to get right with others too. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, then the Heavenly Father won't forgive you. So we got to forgive others. But listen, let me ask you a question. When Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," didn't that include us forgiving us? Because I'm a person. And if I need to be forgiven by me, then I need to forgive me. Have you ever looked in the mirror and just said, "Hey, self, I forgive you"? Have you ever seen the power of that, experienced the power of that? Self, I forgive you. I let you off the hook. God forgave you, I forgive you. And I'm not going to hold anything against you, because the blood is mightier than what I did. The blood is mightier than what I did. So I can forgive myself because He forgave me. Because the blood of Jesus washes away all my sin. So I can forgive me. Let me ask you a question. What would have happened to the ministry of the Apostle Paul if he had not forgiven himself? Do you know what he did? Do you know what Paul did? Do you know the struggle he must have had in forgiving himself for what he did? We know the terrible things that he did because he tells us about it in his letters. He told the Corinthians, "Hey guys, I'm the least worthy of all the apostles, and I shouldn't even be called an apostle at all, after the way I treated the church of God." Amen. Well, he goes further with the Galatians. He tells the Galatians, "I went after the Christians mercilessly. I hunted them down and did my best to get rid of them," and that means kill them. I did my best to kill Christians. But now he tells King Agrippa everything. He says, "I used to believe that I ought to do many horrible things to the followers of Jesus of Nazareth." And then he tells us what he did. "I imprisoned many of the saints in Jerusalem." He threw them in prison. He goes on. as authorized by the high priest. And when they were condemned to death, I cast my vote against them. That means I voted for their death. I killed them. I killed Christians. This is the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote Ephesians, Galatians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 2/3 of the letters of the New Testament. This man wrote. Could he have done that if he had not forgiven himself and what we're reading about right now? But he doesn't stop there. He said, I use torture to try to make Christians everywhere blaspheme Christ. I don't know what the torture was. Let's say it was a torture rack. He put them on a torture rack, and when they were in agony, he said, blaspheme him, renounce him. Amen. Some of them did it in agony. This is your Apostle Paul. I was so violently opposed to them that I even hounded them in distant cities and foreign lands. And yet it was this same Apostle Paul, folks, watch this now, who wrote and said, forget what lies behind. Come on, everybody. Forget what lies behind. Forget about it. He's not saying live in denial. He's not saying act like it didn't happen. He's saying don't live in the past. Don't let it torture you. Don't let it torment you. Receive the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and forgive yourself. He even said this, I judge not my own self. Wow. I don't even judge myself, but I give my judgment to him. So everybody say, you got to forget the past. And don't forget Simon Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times, the 3rd time in Jesus' hearing with Jesus looking right at him. Don't you know he replayed that tape over and over again in his mind, particularly the 3rd denial when he was done with it. He did it with cursing. And right about then, Jesus was walked out and Jesus looked him right in the eye, looked him right in the eye. Oh, I just can't imagine that look. I don't know him. Blankety blank, I don't know him. And then there's Jesus looking right at him. His guilt drove Peter to bitter tears and then to a flimsy attempt to return to his old life of fishing. He went and said, I'm going fishing. He was trying to return to his old life. And he couldn't go back to his old life because there was nothing there. It says all night long they caught nothing. And that's what will happen if you and I try to go back to our old life. We're not going to catch nothing. Amen. Because there's nothing back there. We got to go forward. Amen? We got to go forward. And so Simon Peter experienced a personal visit from Jesus Christ, and that's the only way he was restored. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You know I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And then he received the Lord's forgiveness, and he forgave himself. You got to forgive you. I don't care what you've done. You got to forgive you. You got to let you off the hook. You've got to forgive you. Forgive yourself. At the end of this message, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of forgiving yourself. Even if you don't need to, you probably ought to pray it. So once you quit looking behind, then the prophet says, start looking forward. Now I'm going to quote Paul again first. Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, that's what's first. And then reaching forward to the things ahead. Notice they are in order. You can't reach forward. You can't move forward until you have let the past go, till you have dealt with your past. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to deal with our sin and wash our past away. Amen. So forgetting precedes reaching. And the word reaching is a word signifying great effort, a strain. It's a word that means straining. It's like an athlete who's taken the final lap and he sees the finish tape and he's given it everything that he's got and he's reaching and he's straining to break that tape. That's the idea behind reaching to what lies ahead. God wants you reaching for a great future, not for a dead and gone past. And God also turns our gaze forward through Isaiah with this promise. He makes a promise. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. When you quit considering the things of old and remembering the things you've done and living in the past, he said, then you are a candidate for a new thing. You've got to receive God's forgiveness, forgive others, and forgive yourself. And when you do that, you are a candidate for a new beginning. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Everybody say now again. Now. Let's try it again. Now. Now he says, listen, once you have received God's forgiveness, forgiven others, and forgiven yourself, now God's going to do a new thing. Amen. Shall you not know it. He's saying, are you not going to see it? Can you spot it? Can you turn your eyes on it? Because here's what he says. He says, it has already begun. Now it shall spring forth. That means it has already begun. Don't you see it? In other words, look ahead. Look around you. Quit looking back. Look forward. I'm moving on your behalf. He says, now it shall spring forth. That means it has already begun. Don't you see it? Amen. It's already begun. Now, these people in captivity, here's what they heard. They heard that Cyrus, a new king of Persia, had released them from their captivity. They were released to go back to Jerusalem. They were released to go home. And so he says, look, quit looking back there. Quit beating yourself up. Quit living in the past. He said, I want you to look forward and look around you because it's already springing forth. Cyrus has already signed the decree. You are released. I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not see it? Shall you not know it? Shall you not take advantage of it? Amen. The word spring forth, now it shall spring forth, describe exactly how God's new beginnings manifest. It means it shall spring up like the grass springs from the ground. Or it shall bud forth like the opening of flower petals. How do they open up? Gradually, beautifully, miraculously, they unfold. Amen. And God says, that's the way I do new beginnings. There you are. You've been living in the past, beating yourself up over the past, not letting yourself off the hook. But once you receive God's forgiveness and forgive others and forgive yourself, then new beginnings begin to open like a flower petal. All around you. And he says, will you not see it? In other words, open your eyes. Because God is a God of new beginnings. He says so right here. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now that you have let yourself off the hook, quit living in the past, start looking forward. He says, now you're a candidate for a new thing. And now it's going to spring forth, it's going to unfold new things. Let me give you some examples. It might be a new friendship, new relationship, new opportunities, fresh goals, exciting new ministries. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, I'm he that shuts and no man opens, and I open doors and no man shuts them. And he says, you're going to have doors open up. Doors are going to open up. Oh, I love the way God opens doors. You see a door and it says new thing on it. New thing is written on it. And then it says, turn the knob and walk through. Now I can stare at it all day and say, yep, there's a door. Yep, it's a new thing. Yep, there it is. But there comes a time I got to walk through that door. And God gives a new beginning. He gives a new beginning. Now here's the sad thing. The children of Judah in Babylon, when the new thing happened and that door just stood right in front of them, and God said, now you're free. You're free. I have set you free. I've given you a brand new door. Walk through it. The Bible says that most of them, the majority of them, did not take advantage of it. Whatever it might be, whatever new door, whatever new relationship, whatever it is that God does, whatever new opportunity, you got to start looking forward with expectation because God is moving on your behalf. He's moving on your behalf. So everybody say, don't look back. Look forward. And then the last thing God says, and this is so important, without this, none of the rest of it means anything. He said, you've got to seize your season. You got to seize your season. God promises, I love this. I'm going to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, those are dichotomies. Those are paradoxes. Because those never happen. If you're in a wilderness, you're in a wilderness because there is no road. And if you're in a desert, you're in a desert because there's no water. No water is what makes a desert a desert. But God says, I'm going to overrule where you are. I'm going to take you out of where you are. I'm going to move on your wilderness experience. I'm going to get you to a new place. So I'm going to blaze a trail where there is no trail. I'm going to make a way where there is no way. I'm going to open a door where there's been no door. And I'm going to give you a drink where nobody else can find a drink. Come on, everybody. He says, I'm not hindered by your wilderness and I'm not hindered by your desert. When you get right with me and you get right with others and you forgive yourself, you're a candidate for a new beginning. And when that new beginning begins to unfold like beautiful flower petals, I'm going to do some things that are going to make a way for you where there hasn't been a way. I'm going to give you a road to get out. But here's the deal. You got to seize the season. Because what good is a new road if you don't get on it? What good is a stream in the desert if you don't stoop down and drink from it? God is saying, listen, I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to give you the new door. I'm going to make a way where there is no way, but I can't make you get up and go through it. You're going to have to get up and activate your faith and go through it to the other side of where I'm taking you. Because if you don't get up and take advantage of it, what good is it? You've got to seize your season. It's spring. And, you know, in the winter, everything dies. And everything is dead and dull looking. My backyard, I have a great backyard. But wintertime, everything dies. Everything is that dark, dead brown. There's no green, no flower petals, no life. But spring came. And I realized it was the season of spring. So I seized the season and I went to Home Depot. All right. Amen. And man, I bought flowers and I bought plants. And I bought some things that look like trees, but they tell me they're not trees, so I bought those too. I bought things that blossom and that give color, because I said this. I said, I want color in my backyard. And I got out there and I seized the season, and I planted those things. I almost lost them last night. It was 34 degrees, 2 degrees above freezing. You think I wasn't binding and loosing that weather? The Lord kept it 2 degrees above freezing, because I had about, well, I had some money out there in my backyard that I would have lost. But I seized the season. I took advantage of spring. Life happens in seasons. And God gives us a time. Let me just quote you the verse. The Bible says to everything there's a season, and there's a time for every purpose under heaven. And he's telling us life happens in seasons. There is a time to plant, a time not to plant. There's a time to live, a time to die. There's all these different things he goes through in Ecclesiastes 3. But here's the deal. When it's the season to move forward, when it's the season for a new thing, then there is a time God allots for us to seize that season, or it'll pass us by. And so we got to learn to seize it, grab it. Paul the Apostle said, redeem the time. That means make the most of every opportunity God gives you, because the days are evil. And so there is a time to grab hold of every season and seize that season. And so if you're going to walk into a new thing, not only do you have to quit looking back, not only do you have to start looking forward, but when you spot those new doors, you've got to take advantage of them and seize the opportunity and walk through it. Walk through it. Peter seized his season after his dismal failure of denial. The Bible tells us he accepted Jesus' forgiveness and he forgave himself. And he began again as the great apostle to the Jews. We wouldn't have 1st and 2nd Peter if he hadn't forgiven himself. Amen. Paul sees the season. He accepted Jesus' forgiveness for all the terrible things he did to the church. And he threw his heart into the church. Yeah. Stepped onto the new road God gave him, and he became the great apostle Paul to the Gentiles. He began again.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. 888-384-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again tomorrow as we start a brand new series about true repentance, a conscious act that leads to a fresh pursuit of God, in a life-changing series we call The Power of Repentance. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until next time, God bless.